Tab Blokes Day Out. Eagle Farm Racecourse this weekend. Tickets from $10 at brc.com.au.
Hey there, welcome to the catch up. Very nice to have you. Make sure you subscribe. Always easier to get the catch ups. Plenty on today. We met a new person, didn't we?
Trevor.
Yes, we did. Well, no, Trevor's a cyclone. Can't meet a cyclone.
We remember early in the show we had Trevor won the quiz.
Oh, yeah. We met that Trevor. Yeah. Right? No, I think you were still talking about Teresa Green.
And we're trying to list three names.
Sorry.
I was.
Sorry.
Byron Bay Greens candidate.
Yeah, yes. She was amazing.
She's got some wacky policies, hasn't she?
Very chilled out, unsurprisingly.
Super chilled out.
She'd have an eco toilet, wouldn't she?
What's an eco toilet?
Oh, come on.
Just a hole in the ground?
Just a hole.
Is that just a shovel and wherever you are?
If you go camping, they have these. Anyway, don't worry.
If you go camping.
What are they? An eco toilet? What's an eco toilet?
They have them at Nurrabar campsite, in fact. They recycle themselves. Mm. They stink a lot after Easter.
Or you just go around dumping wherever you want to, get a plastic bag and put a knot in it and then just leave it in someone else's wheelie bin.
That's how it's done. Mates at First Sight was launched today, the real social experiment.
Oh, my God. Inspired. Of course, by Married at First Sight, but this one is you met four people who have never met and they go to the four huge sporting events on the weekend, League, Union, AFL and the races. We could have people either falling in love in a man sense and a woman sense, or we could have people tearing each other apart. It's the social experiment that has to happen.
And if Bogan News was a restaurant or a chef, it would have received a Michelin star today. It was wonderful stuff, the most Bogan you can get.
I think Bogan News, they don't get Michelin stars. They're graded on legal ninja stars brought home from Bali.
Well, they got six.
They're laser pointers.
Yeah, they did.
Enjoy the catch up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, we know that 5G, the 5G network, see, I don't even know the terminology, but it is coming and it is 20 times faster than 4G. It's supposed to be amazing. Mm. But during the week, they have been reporting on Nine News that there could be problems.
5G frequencies have a shorter wavelength and weaker penetration than 4G, so signal strength can be impacted by trees, buildings, people, even your hands covering the antenna on your phone, which means there needs to be more 5G for it to work properly.
Am I immature if I heard shorter wavelength and weaker penetration and thought that was funny?
Yes, you are. But at least you've owned it, so that's good.
Okay.
The thing is that none of us really understand about the whole 5G stuff. I mean, we can stand there and go, that sounds impressive.
I understand weaker penetration.
Yes, you do. Anyway, there is one guy who knows all about it, and it's this bloke.
Trevor Long, Trevor Long, Trevor Long.
Cyclone.
What?
Cyclone Trevor. Wrong.
Oh, Trev.
I heard the same thing when I heard that grab, I'll be honest. But anyway.
good to know an intelligent man thinks like that too.
Yeah. It's less about the weaker penetration and more about the number of mobile sites. I mean, this is the thing about 5G. And 5G is real. Every network, Optus, Telstra and Vodafone, will have 5G in the future. It's just the evolution. You know, we had 2G, we had 3G, we had 4G, we had 5G. But the difference is 5G has much more capacity. So many, many more devices can be on it because there is much more, lanes on the highway, if you want to think about the old superhighway analogy. And that's what we need because we're getting so many more devices in our homes, in our lives. But to get the same coverage as we have today for 4G, we need many more towers. Oh. So when Telstra say, you know, they're going to have 1,500 towers by the end of the year for 5G, we think, oh, wow, there's going to be lots of 5G. But actually, that covers a reasonably small space in comparison to what we have today. So it's going to be 3 years, 4 years before we really have 5G in the same level as we have 4G. And at that point, we're going to have towers everywhere, if that worries you.
Where will they put them? On top of existing buildings?
Same place they put these ones. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't realise where they are now. Mm. They put, you know, actual poles up with towers on them. But lots of commercial buildings have them. Lots of residential buildings have them on top because, you know, the strata of the residential building gets money from the telcos to have their towers on board. So it's, you know, it's good for everyone. But we all want the coverage. And we complain when we don't have coverage. But then there's people that are not happy with the towers in their area. I mean, it's chicken and egg. You got to have them. You got to have one or the other. People, you got to have coverage or towers.
Okay,
you can't run around.
Can you just remind me of the why we got NBN?
So the different. you're saying basically, you know, is 5G going to surpass NBN?
Yeah.
yes, it will be faster in many ways, but yeah. it's not as consistently reliable. So if you've ever been to Suncorp Stadium and you tried to send a photo from your phone while the game was in, you know, high intensity,
yeah.
struggles because there's so many people on the mobile network. That's the problem with mobile networks. They're brought down by large amounts of people. So a 5G network would not do well with everyone streaming Netflix at night. It would be slower. The NBN is slightly slower, but nowhere near as much impact by the traffic. So basically, fixed line allows you to have much more consistent capacity. 5G and mobile allows you to have the portability, the flexibility, and the peak speeds that mobile offer.
And Trevor, what do you think about the government's concerns with Huawei as a provider of 5G?
Ooh. Personally, I think it's a complete joke. I think it's a G-up because there's no evidence. Not a single piece of evidence has been shown to anyone that says Huawei spied on anyone's anything. So, look, I do think it's a beat-up. I understand why they're saying it, but I don't want to break it to you, but all the mobile phones are built in
exactly.
China. Nearly all the mobile phone towers are built in the same area of China.
Are they?
So if Huawei's a problem, shouldn't everyone be a problem?
How fast is the internet there?
It's pretty good.
Nick just wanted to prove he could say Huawei.
Yes, he did. And Trevor, Huawei. Yes or no, will we need a new headset with 5G?
Yes.
Buy him
next year.
Okay,
buy him next year. Thank you, yeah. Trevor Long, tech expert, EFTM.com.au. Head there for more of his gear. Good on you, Trev. Catch up soon.
Cheers, guys.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Well, federal election coming up and we're being approached by a number of people to give them airtime. And we're now joined by a woman very much in touch with her environment, herself and the political scene. It's the Greens candidate for Byron Bay, Theresa Green. Good morning.
Good morning to you all at the Big Breakfast, and hello to you, Marto. I've been a big fan of the Wallabies for a long time. To you, Robin Bailey, and to you, Nick Cody, of course, Brendo, I believe.
Hello.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Nice to meet you, Theresa.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys.
Let's find out a little bit about you. How do you spend your days, Theresa?
Well, I have a salute to the sun in my vegetable garden early in the morning and channel the light into my body through my mudala chakra. Then a lot of my sisters from the Goddess Centre come over and my brother Nigel, who's been identifying as a woman since the failure of his second marriage. We body paint, put on tutus and celebrate a fertility rite in the vegetable garden before firing up the fecal generator to go inside and involve ourselves in some cooking activities.
That's a Nigel, big morning.
It is a big morning. You're right, Nick. Nigel's actually applying for a small business startup through Centrelink as an Indigenous woman, so good luck to Nigel on that. Yes. Sure.
Now, mate, in the run-up to the election, Theresa, what about all the racist brouhaha that's consuming the New South Wales opposition leader?
Well, Nick, it's a good question, but I don't see race or ethnicity unless it's essential to the individual's identity. Like, what race do you identify as, Nick?
Oh, I guess just an Aussie bloke.
With, see? Nothing. My friends and I are so race neutral that sometimes I mistake my Japanese Samoan neighbour, Narasuki Fukalewa, for my Indigenous Reiki massage specialist, Ningaloo Punti. But I also have macular degeneration in my left eye, which helps with racial neutrality.
Well, that's specific, but in a broader sense, what policy are the
I like to hear your giggling and joy, all about joy. Release it. Okay. Don't hold it in.
Like Christopher Pine.
Someone on a rower.
I know, Christopher.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I know a lot of politicians. I'm an interesting woman.
Okay. Well, just on the policies, I know a lot of our listeners don't care, but what policies are the Greens taking to the New South Wales state election?
Well, we want to look after Mother Earth and hold her close to our bosom. She nourishes us and gives us succour. So we're going to outlaw motor mowing because that releases greenhouse gases from the cut grass and the release of fossil fuels, and also wood-fired ovens, pizza ovens, they're gone, and any other.
What about new money bogans? What are they meant to install in their backyard if they can't have a wood-fired pizza oven?
Well, they can use the fecal-generated electric heater, can't they?
take a dump to save Mother Earth, I say, Nick. What else?
I've helped the planet twice this morning.
Yeah.
Thanks, coffee.
Good on you. I know that you've really got a Browns policy there as well as a Greens policy, which is great.
Will anyone actually vote for you, Teresa?
No.
Greens
but
can.
We don't care. It's all about participating, really, isn't it?
No, it is. It is about participating.
That's what I say to the NRL, which I love rugby league. It's why don't the boys share the ball around like they do their intimate partners?
Okay,
Teresa.
Greens candidate for Byron Bay, Teresa Green. This has been something. It's been lovely meeting you.
It could be something else, I'll tell you that.
It could be, but it's not going to be. See you, Teresa.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Yeah. Let's be very blunt about this. This won't get any bigger this year at all than this weekend. Friday night, the Broncos play the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. What a clash. Saturday afternoon, it's Golden Slipper Day at Randwick, but Brisbane here, it's Blokes Day out at the beautiful Eagle Farm Raceway.
They've got like 25 craft beers on tap.
It is. What a day. That's Saturday afternoon. Saturday evening at the beautiful Gabba. We've got our Lions revamped and very confident, playing last year's defending premiers, the West Coast Eagles. What a clash. And then Sunday afternoon, fresh off their first win of the season, the Reds were very impressive. Sunday arvo at Suncorp, back at Suncorp. You start your weekend at Suncorp, you finish it at Suncorp. The Reds are playing the Brumbies from Canberra, who are one of the top teams. It is one delicious prospect, and because of it, we want to put together something very special.
No, you want to put together something very special. It's kind of cute, though.
It's going from one event to all four events, four different sports, all four events. I want four people, male or female, doesn't matter, but we want to. It's a social experiment. You will not have met each other before. Okay, you're right with that?
Yeah, I'm very good with it.
We'll not have met each other. One will be a specialist in each sport. All right.
Okay.
And we'll bring them together and see what exactly. So it's not about it's about sport. It's about community. It's about us. And
it's not partner swapping.
No, God, no, no.
Okay. No cheese in the bowl.
No commitment ceremonies.
It's about sport, and it sounds something like this.
Four people, four sporting events, four sporting codes. It's the Big Breakfasts, mates at first sight.
That's right.
Oh, it's a legitimate question about partner swapping then.
So is this as simple as it sounds, Mario? You just want four people to go to four sporting contests together, have a ripper weekend.
And see how they get along. But I don't want them to ever have met each other at the start of the weekend. So they meet outside at Wally on Friday afternoon before the Broncos game, throw themselves together. They can work out what they're doing after that. Then they come back together outside Eagle Farm, and then they go to the Gabba for Saturday night's game, and then they meet again at Suncorp.
They have to be booze fit. That's not what I wanted
to say. That's not important. As my mum would say, that's not what it's about, Robin.
Okay, also, and
if you're keen on going to four sporting contests in a weekend, it is assumed you are booze fit.
Yeah, and single, possibly.
And don't say single, available. You might have a partner who goes, go for your life, Tiger. It's better.
You might have a five-month-old son at home and you just want to go out and get amongst
exactly
no,
your first
you
time
can't
out.
Enter, Nick.
What?
All right.
So, what do we have to do?
You have to be, for these first ones, so we're giving them away consecutively, okay? The first person needs to be an expert on the Reds, okay? So I'll have a get-in question, but we will question them. You have to answer this question and have a good attitude. So think of some questions. The quiz question is, who did the Reds play and what year did they last win? So double barrel. When did they last win the Super Rugby title and who did they play in the final?
Right, 133.53 to be our first new mate.
So you are the Reds expert. We will also have a Lions, a Racing and a Broncos expert, and we're throwing you all together in the social experiment.
Reds are first, 133.53. It is the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Ben of Cooperoo. Morning, Ben.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, well, you needed the answer to that and then we'll check your attitude and general suitability for the social experiment. What's the answer?
2011, and it was the Canterbury Crusaders.
All right, that part's okay.
Correct?
His expertise is on the mark.
Okay. I'm much more interested in what you would have been doing this weekend if you weren't going to go to every sporting event in Brisbane.
Ben? I've actually just moved to Brisbane. This is my second week in town, and I need to go out and explore the place, and I also need to make some friends, so this seems perfect.
Okay.
Oh, you are our fella. So you're not up here with anyone. You moved up by yourself.
I moved down from Cairns, actually,
All right. Now, listen, the first event, because on Sunday, yes, you'll be the Reds expert, but will you be prepared to barrack for the Broncos? Are you happy with that?
No, absolutely not. Sorry. Right.
Well, that
no,
might
won't be
that might.
It doesn't have to be.
It's not a deal breaker, is it?
Well, it's a social experiment. I don't know. That'll be the first time because you guys will meet at King Wally on Friday afternoon before going in to watch the Broncos.
We're okay
Cowboys.
With their Cowboy supporter.
He's a Queenslander.
Come on.
Okay. Do you ever have a bet?
Yeah,
have you ever been to the races?
I'm not much chopped, but I'll give it a shake. I used to own a horse, actually, and it's still running somewhere.
Well,
AFL, you know what the Brisbane Lions do. They're playing the West
I
Coast
love
Eagles.
I the Lions.
Okay.
I absolutely love fake boys, yeah.
Okay, so you're short of friends. Are you not a loser?
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I was probably a loser back home as well, but maybe maybe a new place would be a change of identity as well.
What do you do, Ben?
Project management.
Oh, yeah, he's organised, yeah.
Has he ticked the boxes, Marto?
Yeah,
is he in?
Everyone happy?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Everyone
project
happy.
Manager, he can lead the way.
And he's got no mates, so, you know.
Don't rub it in.
That's normally why blokes watch sport.
You're our first fella in, Ben. Congratulations. Going to all sporting events, starting with the Reds taking on the Brumbies Sunday. Remember the history, believe in the future. Tickets, redsrugby.com.au.
Four people, four sporting events, four sporting codes. It's the Big Breakfast's Mates at First Sight.
A social experiment. Let me explain. Friday night, Broncos play the Cowboys at Suncorp. Saturday afternoon, Blokes Day out at Eagle Farm Racecourse. Saturday night, the Gabba, the West Coast Eagles play our Lions. Mm-hmm. And Sunday, Arvo at Suncorp, Reds play Brumbies. There can't be a bigger sports weekend in Brisbane ever. And to do it, we're going to bring together four people who have never met each other before, who are a specialist in each one of those sports, and see how they blend in a Married at First Sight parallel experiment. Well, now we've already got our rugby expert, our Reds expert, is already locked in. It was Ben from Cooperoo.
Yeah, well, he is from Cooperoo, but he was originally from Cairns, and we made sure that he's an OK bloke.
You're not a loser?
No. I was probably a loser back home as well, but maybe maybe a new place would be a change of identity as well.
So he's trying not to be a loser, but he's in.
This
he's
is what
a good
the Married at First Sight people do. Yeah. They get the losers in and they mix them with good people and try to, that's the experiment.
Right.
Okay. For the AFL expert, for the Lions expert, we got Lee from Wavell Heights. Morning, Lee.
Morning, Marto. How are we all?
What makes you an AFL expert first?
Mate, it's with parents from Western Australia, you get sort of inbred into you, Marto. So even though living in Queensland, it's always been the AFL.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? You're right. We better ask him an AFL question.
Well, you know, let's get him through the qualifier and then we'll see. We actually, because none of us are great AFL people, so we got someone who is... Okay, sorry,
Big
Nick.
Power, yeah. Sorry, Nick.
Well, we still got someone who's part of our Triple M commentary team to ask the question. This is Champs.
Hi, this is Richard Champion, formerly of the Brisbane Lions and now part of the Triple M call team. To win tickets to Mates at First Sight, your question is, what year did the Brisbane Lions win their first premiership and who was the coach?
Oh, good question.
Over to you, Lee.
Mate, that'll be 2001, Marto. They beat Essendon by about 27 and the coach was Lee Matthews.
Nick, so let's just check
Very
with Champ. Is he correct?
And the correct answer is 2001, and Lee Matthews was the coach.
Wow. Oh, look at you go,
Lee Matthews played them Predator the week before the game, the movie Predator.
Yes.
Just for the line, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Oh,
which
yeah.
You could probably just wrap up in one sentence like I did, but he made him watch the whole Arnie classic.
Well, that's not only part of it. Attitude needs to be good. Robin, is there anything you need to speak to Lee about?
Well, I'm just checking, Lee. What would you normally be doing this weekend if you weren't doing this?
I'll certainly be watching the Lions, and certainly with the Reds and the Broncos and the start of the AFL season, there's plenty of couch and football time, Robin, at this stage.
Any partners? Anyone that you need to...
Yeah, my wife, Peter, absolutely, yep.
Hold on. What's that? What stage is that relationship at?
Married 22 years. No, oh, good to go. Years.
Oh, she'll be fine.
You can catch up Tuesday. Yeah.
Give her the heads up. She'll organise something that she really wants to
so
do.
So Lee's in. We're happy?
Lee's in, I think. So you're right to go to the races. You're not going to pull out halfway through this experiment.
No, mate, all good to go.
All right.
He's in. Lee from Wavell Heights, congratulations. You are our Lions That's expert. Two. You join Ben from Cooperoo, who is our Reds expert. The St George Queensland Reds taking on the Brumbies Sunday, redsrugby.com.au for tickets. And the only way to uncage your weekend is, well, there's several ways, but with the Brisbane Lions as they take on the Eagles, lions.com.au for tickets.
Married for 22 years. His wife's going to ask if there's any events tonight and tomorrow he can go to as well. He'll be looking at harness racing. And
get your way to the Broncos and the races tomorrow.
Two more to give away.
Big breakfast, Triple M. From a house down in heaven or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of it, which are even
up the coast, it's Triple M's. Oh, yeah. News. Guys, so far this year, I've covered some incredible bogan news. We've had burnouts at funerals, Gold Coast Playboys, high-level drink driving, but this bogan news has it all. It's got budget airline, mid-flight brawl, heading to a bogan place, drunk passengers, someone not wearing their shoes on a plane.
What?
A Ryanair passenger... For those of you not in the know, Ryanair makes Tiger look like Emirates First Class. A Ryanair passenger has had his nose bitten off during a brutal mid-air fight, which started over a woman not wearing shoes.
What?
The airline said two men were detained by police after the brawl broke out on a flight from Glasgow, Scotland, of course, to Tenerife South, of course, in Spain, which
Party place.
Yeah, it's Scotland's Bali on Saturday, leaving blood splattered across the cabin. It all started over a woman not wearing her shoes. A very drunk man pulled her up about it, saying someone would stand on her toes. Then the woman's boyfriend stepped in and tried to defuse the situation.
And a nose was misplaced.
Yep. The video shows they fight for around 20 seconds before cabin crew and other passengers drag the men off each other. In the footage, a young boy is seen peering over the top of his seat to watch the fight, with more families and children reportedly on the plane. Now, see what happens when you take away screens, you tight-ass airlines. Kids have to watch a bloody free-for-all instead of having snacks and watching Frozen. A source told the Scottish Sun there were numerous occasions of drunken disorderly behaviour before this man had his nose bitten off, right?
Oh, what a flight.
I love that the Scots let it go a bit. You know what I mean? Here in this nanny state, you only have to knock a fan or onto the passenger next to you to get zip-tied to your chair, right? The Scots, you can have a bit of fun on a Scottish plane. Now, normally, nose down on a plane is instructions for the pilot, but unfortunately for this bloke, it meant have his spat out on the floor.
Oh, and of course, that is so gross.
The only bonus of losing your nose... Yes. On a Ryanair flight heading there is that you can't smell the drunks bucks parties on board. Triple
M's Big Breakfast. Tropical cyclone Trevor's ripping across the top of Cape York as we speak.
Has it made landfall yet?
Yeah, it's gone through on the east side. It's just about to poke its head out onto the west side and into the Gulf of Carpentaria. 220k an hour winds, the biggest cyclone of the year, but it's really isolated. It's just tearing through bush, so just knocking down trees and probably throwing a few cattle up in the air or something or other. They don't care up there because they get it every year. You remember Cyclone Omar? Oh, God, we're all going to die. Oh, God, oh, Cyclone Omar. And then it was just a couple of big waves, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
Up there, they see this all the time. And I see they went to the Mayor of Lockhart River last night. Now, it's on the eastern side and it went just below there. Well, it was while they were talking to him. And some of his words, these are very isolated people. They see a lot of stuff and they're a lot tougher than us. Have a listen to him. He's quite prophetic when he talks about, it's about to hit.
The wind is probably more of concern, bringing down infrastructure, particularly power lines. The powers will normally go first.
Seconds later, they lost power.
We just seen a few things go down across the road here,
It's so good.
Okay, you know how I love clothes and fashion? Maybe it's because I'm the mother of only sons and I'm the only one that cares about pink and feathers and glitter and, you know, bedangles and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, no. Well, maybe not. I don't care if one of my kids do, but at the moment they don't. So when I see blokes in pretty colours, I get quite impressed.
Pretty colours.
Well, let's face it, the only really pretty colour that I'll ever see a tradie in is high-vis. Mm. But it got me wondering yesterday... Why, like, how do you pick your high-vis colour?
Oh, this is a great question because I ask them at Smoko Shout some weeks because some guys will be in a yellow high-vis and some guys will be in orange. And
why isn't there purple? I want purple high-vis and I want matching boots.
I think purple and pink are AFL runners.
Oh.
The people running out the messages to the players, they're normally in an odd colour, I think.
I've asked this question, okay, and I go, what is it with high-vis? Because I only worked on small sites where there were four chippies and then the plumbers would come in and they'd come in and no one was required by law to wear high-vis, so no one did. It's only on these bigger sites where they've all got it because you have to have, let me get the words, the colour has to make you discernible from the background. That's the purpose of wearing high-vis, mainly for trucks and forklifts and cranes and things like that so people can see you. But I keep saying if there's 100 of you all wearing the same colour, you're not discernible from the background.
And like when I, you know, because I actually went into one of those $20 shops to see if I could buy a high-vis because I was just curious.
Yeah.
And you can get like orange and green and yellow. They're the most common ones.
Yes.
Right?
No, they've just added red, I believe, to a really flashy red.
I still want purple.
So you can make a human traffic light.
Purple's the peaceful colour, like the all the hippie. That's why hippies wear it. Yeah, but it's not discernible. It sort of blends in, I think.
Okay. No, but like fluoro purple.
Righto. Anyway. Or just a rainbow shirt. There's those blokes. Trademark. They're making all sorts of colours, like colourful ones, and I think they've got approval to make that as a fluoro shirt.
But my question remains, how do you decide what high-vis colour you're going to wear? Is there a high-vis hierarchy? That is hard
the
to
most
say.
Important. You know what? Also, if you ever go to a building site and there's a bloke whose high-vis isn't dirty, he either only just bought it yesterday or he's the boss. But I don't know with the colours.
Mardo's seen rainbow high-vis and he's like, what job site is this? He doesn't know he's watching the Mardi Gras celebration. Where are these blokes going?
Ask our
boys and girls.
That's
a weird truck.
They'll know.
Okay, I want to know, high-vis hierarchy, is there such a thing and how do you decide? Like, do the plumbers wear yellow? Do the chippies wear orange? Who wears purple?
Okay. No one about one.
It only came in, you know, this only came in, I reckon, in the late 80s, early 90s, high-vis got discovered.
Oh, okay, well, let's see. Aidan of Silkstone, can you explain the high-vis hierarchy?
Morning, all. So basically, blue business shirts with a yellow or orange high-vis vest. They're your foreman. They're the sort of the blokes higher up. They walk around with a tape measure of a couple of hours to make it look like they're doing something.
Yeah, coming out of their air conditioning,
well,
don't they?
Which one you are.
Yeah, well, exactly. I personally wear the orange and blue high-vis, being a Sparky.
Okay.
That's just because I've been in the trade for about 8 years now, and when I first started, all the Sparkies were wearing orange, so I just started wearing orange. Well, I generally find all the other trades, your plumbers, chippies and stuff, will wear yellow.
But there's no...
Yellow and blue.
There's no official, is there?
No, not necessarily. I've seen blokes get around in the pink high-vis.
Yeah, that's good. I like pink.
I've got a couple of pink shirts myself, and I buy the Jane McGrath Foundation pink and black socks and whatnot. You know, get around the high vis like that. But no, when I first started, all the Sparkies were wearing orange. Everyone else was wearing yellow, and all the riff raff and nuff nuffs inside were wearing business shirts.
Now listen, I don't know if you can call them nuff nuffs. That's our word.
Well done, Aidan.
Hey,
we'll
Aidan, have
it.
You seen that trade mutt one? Oh, he's gone, is he?
Okay, let's.
Is it Aidan? No. Aidan, have you seen those trade mutt ones, all sorts of different colours? Anyone wearing them on site?
Don't know. He's gone, actually.
Dean of Logan, morning.
How you going?
Good. Have you got some high-vis hierarchy for us?
Yeah, probably about 20 years ago, high-vis didn't have that yellow the silver strip, the reflective strip that you have when you see it at night time.
Yeah.
So at night time, it used to be fluoro green, and then daytime used to be orange for some reason. Then those silver strips came in, and then it didn't really matter. What was day or night. But then Queensland Rail, because they have red and green lights, they couldn't have either of those, so they went to yellow. So later in the stages, it became whatever workplace it was. If there was any of those colours in the background that were, you know, safety's like traffic lights and things like that, they had to pick another colour so it stood out.
Dean, judging by your voice, you may not be old enough, but do you remember the 80s? We never had high-vis, did we?
Oh, I am old enough.
Yeah, righto. Did we have? When do you reckon high-vis started?
Yeah, it probably started around about the early 90s it probably started. That's when workplace health and safety really took off.
Yeah, as an industry.
I reckon fluoros all around were pretty big. early 90s.
Oh, yeah. I had a fluoro skirt. Didn't work on a construction site, but geez, I looked hot.
So there's no real rules then. So theoretically, you can get
you can do, if someone makes purple, it off we go.
Here's one. Michael, we couldn't put everyone here. We've got to keep moving on. Used to work for a company where the workers wore yellow and the bosses wore orange.
Ooh.
It's pretty easy. The boss is never sweating. That's the big thing.
The big breakfast triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.